What is going on, everybody? Welcome to A Theology of Hustle. I am your host, Curry Blanford, and today I am bringing to you Jennifer Lucy Tyler. This is episode 56. We are just moving right along, but Jennifer is another person that I met because of Michelle McKinney. She has been so good about introducing me to people. It is incredible. So Michelle introduced me to Jennifer, and this episode is straight gold, people. You are going to love hearing from her. I think Jennifer is just a woman who exudes wisdom, and I learned so many things from her in this episode, just all over the place. She does not mess around. She works hard, and she has a lot going on. And I love just hearing her story. She, you know, starts out at this job that she's really struggling at, and, you know, kind of this endless, these endless jobs that just kind of, you know, working for a little time and then finding another one, and just doesn't see anything in her vocation that's really redeemable, and ends up becoming an entrepreneur and launching all these amazing things. So she's now a writer and a speaker. She's a business owner, and she teaches women how to read the Bible better for themselves. And we get into all that, how cool that ministry that she's doing is, just teaching people how to read the Bible is amazing. She also, and I had never even considered this, she also has a passion for diversifying racially the mission field. And like, it had never even occurred to me that most people see missionaries as white, that the bulk of people doing missions work are white. And it had never even crossed my mind, but she's doing incredible work taking these diverse teams overseas and just showing them what it is to do missions, showing African Americans, diversifying, and just amazing. And I think when you get people of different races like away and out doing work together, you just break down barriers that have been there, and you break down just how close people are, the proximity that people have to one another. People that would have never crossed paths along something like that, doing something like that, some amazing work. So you're going to love hearing from her. We go over so much stuff in this episode, and yeah, I really do think she is just an uplifting person, and I think you're going to be really challenged but really motivated by what she has to say. And so I really can't wait for you to hear from her. Just a quick reminder, if you haven't yet, if you'll go ahead and rate and review me on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast, that's super helpful. I know I say that every week, and it's probably annoying, but reviews just help get the word out. People are more prone to listen to a podcast that other people listen to. It's just sort of one of those people things. So I am going to keep hassling you, and I greatly appreciate you taking time to do that. Yes. So if you'll do that for me, I would greatly appreciate it. Also, make sure you're following me at Theology of Hustle on Instagram. You can stay up to date with what's going on. There's always something. I talk theology, I talk parenting, I talk all the stuff. So yeah, make sure you're following me there. And yeah, I hope you really enjoy hearing from Jennifer. All right. Well, Jennifer, I can't say thanks enough for jumping on the podcast with me and chatting with me a little bit.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Well, let's jump off and just have you sort of introduce yourself to everybody.
All right. Well, my name is Jennifer Tyler. I am a teacher. I teach women. I focus on teaching women Bible literacy. And also I am a coach, and I coach women in the areas of discovering their specific calling. And also I empower them to live missionally in their everyday lives. I also lead missions teams from time to time. And I am the founder of a nonprofit called From My Block to Yours. And I do a few other entrepreneurial things on the side as it pertains to the direct sales industry.
Yeah. So you got a few things going on, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I get that. I'm with that. Okay. So let's jump back into your story though, a little bit. So how did you get started with all this, vocational stuff? 'Cause I know you started sort of in the corporate world. Can you talk a little bit about that?
So I was in corporate America working, as an executive assistant for about 10 years for various organizations, nonprofits, and also the government. So my last job in corporate America was in the DC government as an executive assistant for contracting and procurement.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, I was absolutely miserable. I took the job for money. it was solely a money move at the time. And I quickly realized that I had made a mistake. And I remember coming home, and every time I would come home from that job, my husband would have to meet me at the door with a glass of red wine, because I would need that in order to just decompress and unwind from the stress. And I remember coming to him and just saying, babe, you know, I want to quit. Like at the time, I had written my first book, and I started getting some open doors as it pertains to speaking engagements. And I just wanted to just quit and walk away from it all. And my husband, the planner that he is, and being a lot more rational than I am, he just said, you know, babe, I don't think that's God for you to just quit. And so that caused some tension and frustration. I was not being the submissive wife, or I was being submissive, but I was not doing it with joy.
Sure.
And so I remember going to lunch with my mother, and this was October of 2012. And I went to lunch with my mom, and I said, Mom, by the end of 2012, I am not going to be in this office building. And we just laughed it off. And she said, you know, girl, I know you're just so unhappy there. Yeah. I hope that dream comes true for you. So I get back into the office that day. And I sit down at my computer and I turn it on and I begin to work. And I receive a message from human resources asking me to come into the office. And they told me that day they have no more use for my position.
What? Whoa.
And I was let go that day, and I started laughing. I was just like, wow, I just talked about this.
That's amazing.
And I thought it was the funniest thing, but I also thought that, okay, hello, this is God. And the reason why I thought that this was just a God move at the time is because my resume had started to look like somebody's receipt, because I would work these corporate positions. And then after a year or so's time, they would lose funding or I would be let go. This was happening to me so frequent that I started to take notice and like, okay, God, what are you trying to do here? So after that last time in being let go of from corporate America, I told my husband, I said, look, babe, I think that God is trying to tell me something. Give me 6 months. Let's see what I can do and what God can do. And I have been on this entrepreneurial journey ever since.
Wow. Okay. I definitely want to get to the entrepreneurial stuff. I cannot say that word. I should be much better at this than I am. But before we get to that, though, like looking back, because I feel like there's a lot of people probably in that situation, right, where it's like I'm working this job to make money and that's sort of it. And I'm just surviving and I need a glass of red wine at the end of every night.
Yes.
How have you, now that you've moved beyond that season, how, like, looking back at that season, do you sort of like contextualize it or how do you see it now, I guess?
Well, looking back at that season, I can see the things, I can see that it was necessary, even though at the time I didn't think it was. And I'm still, I guess, even now unpacking what that season was about.
Sure.
But I don't think that God wastes anything. So I know it was necessary, even if it was just to train me on leadership and organization and different things of that nature that, and also even in my entrepreneurial journey, there are things that I may not necessarily want to do or the mundane, but I have to do them, right?
Right.
And being an executive assistant taught me a lot about doing those things.
Sure. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I feel like we all get in those seasons, right, where work is just not fulfilling like we want it to be, you know?
Yeah. And even in that season, I was trying to find the fulfillment, right? So being in that office environment, and I called it Cubicle Nation. Being in Cubicle Nation, I tried to find the fulfillment. So one of the ways for me, because I'm such a people person and a coach by nature, and I would find ways to pour into my coworkers and foster those relationships in a positive way. And those moments brought me fulfillment.
Sure.
Even if the shuffling of the paperwork and working on contracts did not bring me fulfillment, the relationship building did.
Hmm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So you still found those little places where you could,
I found those pockets where I could flourish in.
I love that. All right. So let's talk about what that transition was like then from, you know, the corporate world to I guess what you do now in all facets. Yeah.
Yeah.
What was that like?
So for me, it was very unconventional. And I just have to say this because I don't like for people to necessarily hear my story and then try to walk my path. I know that this path was totally unconventional and God ordained. And I usually give the advice like, hey, if you want to transition from corporate to being an entrepreneur, to save, to have all your ducks in a row, to have a plan and all of those different things. And I didn't quite transition in that way. And it has been working for me, and it has worked. It's been, you know, since 2012, right? But I would not recommend the way that I have transitioned for anyone. For me, the way that I transitioned and how it happened, I was working a direct sales business at the time on the side. And I had started building that business prior to me transitioning out. So at the time I built it, I was making an extra $500 or so a month. I also had released a book. And so I was getting a lot of book sales and different things of that nature coming in. And then when I transitioned, I had a severance and then I had unemployment. So all of those things were kind of helping me as I was building and building the direct sales business and also building my speaking business and speaking engagements and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. So that was helping to keep me afloat.
Yeah, that's awesome. What was the main mover for all this stuff? Like, what was the burden that sort of like pushed you into this? Yeah.
So the burden that pushed me into this is that I knew I had a calling for ministry. I knew that it was not conventional. I knew that I was not necessarily called full time in a church, but I knew that God had given me this gift to teach women. He's given me this gift to speak and empower women and to coach them. And that was my burden. He also gave me a passion for the mission field and to expose even more African Americans to missions experiences. So I had all of these passions kind of being stirred up, but working the traditional 9-to-5, I did not have the freedom to really explore things.
Sure.
So that was the burden. Those were the things. And I always tell people the burden is the thing that you think about every day. Mm-hmm. The thing that you're just daydreaming about doing, the thing that you're wishing that you were doing. And so these are the things that I was daydreaming about while I was at my desk, and the things that I would research while I was at my desk and then hurry up and minimize the screen when someone walks by. These are the things that I would think about. I would watch different preachers, women speakers and teachers that I admired. And I would listen to different coaches and things of that nature. And those things would also help to stir up that passion.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. Okay, so let's delve into then all these facets of what you do, I guess. Where would you like to start? Which one sort of like maybe came first, or yeah, where do you want to start?
I could start with the sales industry, direct sales.
Okay. I love it. Let's start there. Yeah. How did you get started in all that? And
yeah. So that I was the person that said I would never do that. Let me just say that.
Famous last words, right?
Yeah. I said I would absolutely never do that. That's not my personality. And I have a very persuasive best friend that came to me and just said, hey, you know, we should do this together. This is going to be big. And, you know, all of the pitch. And at first I said, okay, well, I'll do it. And it was just kind of to support her. But I said, hey, if I make a couple of extra hundred a month on the side, then what do I lose? And I dived head first into this company, and I had no idea that it actually would blow up the way that it did. And over the course of a few years, I was able to become a seven-figure earner in this company. And that was not the plan. That was not the goal. I consider myself more of an introvert than an extrovert. So I just said, that's not my thing. But somehow it was able to work. And so what I did with the income from direct sales was I used that to invest in the things that I was passionate about, like the missions, like having that freedom to explore a coaching program and to explore, what does it look like for me to pitch in different conferences and speak to these different audiences? So I had that flexibility from that income from the direct sales. And then one thing I appreciated about the direct sales business is it taught me a lot of skills that I can use in any traditional business. It taught me marketing. It taught me how to effectively lead a team.
Yeah.
And so I learned a lot in that industry that I am forever grateful for.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. That's cool that God put that in your path so that you could do all of the, like, it just opened up so many doors, right?
It opened up so many doors. Even now I sit back and I'm like, I can't believe that I was able to do all these things. Like, I don't come from a background of entrepreneurs. I grew up with, you know, my parents didn't complete, you know, college, and my father was addicted to drugs. And so I don't come from that background where it seemed like this would be the type of success that I would have.
Yeah. Interesting. Now I kind of want to hear about your growing up. I'm like, I got too many paths here all of a sudden.
Yeah. So I grew up in DC. I grew up in a two-parent home in DC, but that two-parent home wasn't always healthy. My father was a victim to the crack epidemic in the 80s, and he wrestled with PTSD from having been a Vietnam vet, and that led to a lot of drug addiction throughout his life. He passed away a little over a year ago, but that definitely shaped me in a lot of ways, and my mom has always been kind of the rock. She's been the strong woman that has had faith in all of us and our craziness throughout. And even though my father wrestled with that, like, she prayed him through it, and she didn't leave his side. And even me, the same thing, because as a teenager, I also started using drugs and really just I started to get into all of the wrong things and following the wrong crowd and just being really wild and crazy until my early 20s. And I had a wake up call. And so my wake up call, unfortunately, it came in the form of my very best friend getting killed. And she had just graduated from Temple University and was engaged to be married and just had a child, and was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And it was at that moment where it was just kind of a wake up call, like, Jennifer, you have to get yourself together. And you also I realized that all of the other things that I was doing, the partying, the drugs, the promiscuous relationships even, none of that was bringing me peace. None of it was bringing me joy. And it was about the age of 24 that I started to really pursue that peace and pursue that joy. And for me, I learned that I could only find that in a relationship with Christ. Wow. And that's sort of that's what started the journey for me.
Interesting. Okay. Wow. First of all, thank you for being willing to share your story with me. How do you see a lot of that growing up then and the partying and all that stuff affecting sort of your burden today? Like, do you feel like there's a correlation there?
Oh, there's absolutely a correlation, because I see, because of everything that I have experienced and went through, I can see brokenness everywhere in so many people. And that brokenness, I see myself in a lot of women who are wrestling with these issues and wrestling with these different situations. And it may not be as extreme as I was, but I see so many different pockets of brokenness that could be rooted in a lack of knowing who they are, or abandonment and different things that we experience. And so it definitely has given me a burden to just see women walk in freedom.
Yeah.
And for me, that freedom cannot be achieved apart from that relationship with God. And so that is where the hunger for teaching women how to not be afraid of the Bible. And that's where that hunger has stemmed from.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that so much. Can you talk a little bit then about what it looks like for you to sort of help women, you know, read and understand and study the scriptures for themselves?
Absolutely. So I am the founder of an event called Soul Circles. And okay. Soul Circles just started last year. And it brings women together in an atmosphere that isn't typically the church. We're usually in a coffee shop or some type of restaurant. And it is set up like a fun girls' night out, because women need that. We love to just get out and get dressed up and do something different. And so these women, they come out to this girls' night out, but it's not just a girls' night out where we're talking about clothes and makeup and all those other things that don't really matter. We get together, we go beyond the surface in our conversation. And then there is always a teaching, a basic teaching on how to study the Bible. And so either myself, I'll teach it, or I'll have a guest teacher come in, and we walk women through step by step, and we give them tools on how to study the scriptures. And then they work together in groups to apply what they have learned. So then it turns into kind of a workshop. So we're not just preaching at them. We're teaching them, we're giving them the tools, they begin to work through scripture together. And it's really, really cool to see what they're learning, because we also give them an opportunity to share what they're getting from the scripture. And I see that it builds their confidence when they get these tools to say, wow, I didn't know I could get all of that.
Right.
And unfortunately, a lot of the women that come to a Soul Circles event had not had this type of training. And what we try to do is to let them know, you don't have to have attended seminary or be some great theologian in order to walk through the scripture and learn how to interpret the Bible within its proper context.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, that's just such important work. I love that so much. That's cool. What do you think? So you're talking about, you know, basic, like walking through Bible study. What have you seen be like the biggest aha moment when it comes to sort of studying scripture for most women?
that the scriptures are not about them, that it's all about God. And it's so interesting, because I just posted something about this on Instagram, and I want to read my post, because
oh yeah, please.
It's awesome. Getting a lot of wow and engagement, but I think that this is an aha moment for a lot of women. I said, Boaz is not your future husband, and you aren't David, and your problems aren't Goliath. And although God helps those who helps themselves can be great advice, it's not in the Bible. So basically just showing them how that Christ is actually the hero of the story. And the Bible is a book about God, and throughout it's a book about God, and God is redeeming his people by his grace and for his glory. So really just showing them that is usually an aha moment, because it's so easy for us to just run and want to see ourselves in the Bible instead of really seeing God in the Bible.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know that I've ever thought of it that way, but you're totally right, because we do, we try to, in trying to contextualize the scriptures, a lot of times we put ourselves in there and sort of like miss out on the
bigger
story,
bigger
right?
Picture. Yeah.
That's interesting. So how do you go about sort of showing, I mean, what is a, like a basic Bible study, you know, look like? What are some of the like methods you use to help show people?
You know, so I'm very big on inductive Bible study. And what that means is I will walk them through looking for who is the author, first of all. Who are the recipients? That's important, right? Because sometimes we, and usually you can find that in the introduction, which of that particular book, which I used to skip over. But it's so important, right? Because in that introduction where they're saying, oh, I'm writing this letter to who and all of those people, I would skip over that. But when you have a letter that is mailed to you, you don't skip over the beginning and try to find the juicy part. You read everything from beginning to end. So I really stress that, the importance of reading things from beginning to end and reading things repetitively. Because as you read it repetitively, you see so much. I walk them through understanding the style or genre it was written in, because you will read a history book different from reading apocalyptic literature, right? And then we walk them through context. What is context? And how to find that and what we observe. And then I walk them through, well, where do we see the gospel within what we've studied? And then we go through application. Okay, what aspect of God's character has this book or chapter shown us more clearly? And what steps can we take to better live in light of this truth? So these are some of the things that we'll teach on, and we'll walk them through step by step.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. And I've seen you have some like sort of PDFs and printables and stuff I've seen on Instagram, right? You do some of that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I do that because I want to make things available to women, and I'm working on creating even more tools that they could just download for free and just use in their day-to-day study time.
Yeah. That's awesome. I love that. It's amazing studying scripture for yourself, how much that changes things, right?
It absolutely does, because then when you're in church and someone's saying something that's completely off, you're like, wait a minute, let me go and take that and let me study that out. And that's what I want to empower women to be able to do, to be able to take what they're hearing and what they're learning and be able to take it home and study it out to see if what is being said is true.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting that we've kind of gotten into this place where like the person on the stage is the only one who, you know, studies scripture per se, or like we always like listen to the experts as opposed to like reading the scriptures for ourselves. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how that happened, I guess.
Yeah, so. I think it was rooted in, I mean, we could go back in church history and certain denominations, people weren't encouraged to open the scripture. We were just encouraged to, hey, you listen to, you know, this priest and get everything from them. And we weren't encouraged to read our Bibles.
Yeah, totally. That's good stuff. Okay, so something I'm really fascinated about is you talk about helping African Americans on missions. Please tell me all the things. I'm super interested in all this.
Well, this came about from my short-term missions experiences and being the only Black woman on the mission field, usually in a sea of white women. And then going to these different countries and serving, and then hearing from people who would say, wait, you're a missionary? Like they couldn't see it because they are not used to seeing an African-American woman on the mission field. And from those experiences, it gave me a passion to say, okay, what's the disconnect and how can I inspire more African-Americans to experience the mission field and to go out and to serve serve alongside these long-term missionaries or to work in development and do those things. And so the way that I've been able to inspire is just through my platform, really social media and storytelling. And I do a lot of storytelling when I'm on the mission field. And what ends up happening is I'll get people that say, hey, you know, how'd you get into this? And I have, through that, it's been really cool to start seeing that I've been inspiring more African-Americans to get on the field and even serve long-term, which is the ultimate goal is to get them to either serve long-term or want to partner and support financially, maybe some of these organizations that are doing amazing work long-term. And it's been interesting. The last two missions teams that I led were so diverse. And I just was so grateful that I was able to have extremely diverse teams.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. I guess I'd never even thought about it, but you're totally right. Cause I've never been in that position of being a African-American woman on a missions trip, but right. Like it is, there's a lack of diversity. I mean, the church has this sort of lack of diversity in and of itself, but then on the mission field, it's this whole other thing.
Yeah. You know, I mean, if you go online and look at any missions organization, the face of most of the leaders, they're not going to look like me.
Right.
And you're not going to see that. And so I would see that and I was just like, why is that? Yeah. So my heart is to really inspire more, not just African-Americans, but also just minorities, period. Yeah. Because I would never see Asians on the mission field. I would never see Hispanics on the mission field. So really just to inspire minorities to also get out and serve in various countries and also their block, right? Like I that's what From My Block to Yours is about, like just encouraging you to share the gospel in your four corners of your block and also be able to take it to the world. And that's my heart behind that, to really just inspire more of us to get out there.
Yeah, that's amazing. So what have you seen sort of in taking some of these more diverse groups like out on the mission field?
It has been, it's been a eye-opener because, and the kind of eye-opener when I take the more diverse groups is the actual people are just so shocked that when you say, okay, wow, these people are a missions team, they're not used to seeing that. Yeah. And so that has been the eye opener. That I guess that's been the biggest eye opener is that people aren't used to, they think that when you go out on the field and you, if you have the title missionary, that you should have blonde hair and blue eyes.
Sure. Right. Right. That's interesting. I also think there's something about a missions trip, right? Even among the team that goes, where there's like a camaraderie that develops. And right. So have you seen some of these teams sort of like maybe breaking down some of these, you know, initial racial barriers that were there?
Absolutely. It's totally broken down, and any stereotypes that they may have had about one another is completely broken down as they are serving together and working together. And yeah. It's a beautiful thing to see. And it's also amazing because long-term relationships come out of that. Mm-hmm. I have seen from my missions teams, people build relationships with one another that are of different races and then go and serve together and just do life together. And that is really, really amazing to do. And it also, what I like to do on the field is, to have these conversations about how we grew up, about what we believe, and all of those things are so, so helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just important. And that's something you can't replicate like stateside as easily, right? It needs, like, you need that time apart from regular sort of life, I guess, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think that it can be replicated stateside, but it doesn't happen often because we're usually too caught up in our routines and in our way of life and groups of friends and things of that nature. So when you go away on these short-term mission trips and then you are connecting with people that you may not have necessarily had the opportunity to serve with before, it definitely changes you. I just got back from Ethiopia serving with this development organization. I was the only Black woman on this team, but I mean, I built the best relationships. One woman, her name is Christine. I did some workshops with her in Ethiopia, and she's a 70-year-old white woman who has become my good girlfriend.
Okay? I love it.
And it's very unlikely that could have happened here because our worlds and paths may not have crossed.
Right.
Yeah, but now she's my girl. And we're going to go have seafood together soon.
I love that. I love that. That's cool. That's great. I would be remiss if I did not ask you about balance in your life, because you are doing a lot of stuff, right?
Yeah.
How do you ensure that you know, sort of balance is there in your life?
I don't have balance, Curry. I need that. You know, maybe they could pray for me. Like,
we could pray for each other. I'm totally there with you. Yes,
I am still trying to navigate that. And and I will say this, I may not feel balanced, so to speak, but I do have a rhythm. Hmm. And I know how to pay attention to when I'm getting off that rhythm.
Right.
And I know how to pull away. And I have not always known how to pull away. And pulling away for me means taking a social media break. Sometimes it's just me going out in nature and just being in nature, being by myself, taking a long drive. I love really just pulling away, like, from the social media and just getting into nature. That will be when I feel like, okay, this is getting to be too much. That is typically when I do those things.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. I like how you distinguish between, you know, balance and rhythm, because I think there is something to that. Like, the rhythm is what sort of keeps you steady, maybe.
Yeah.
You know? That's interesting. Yeah. Gosh, so much. You do so many things. You're getting it. So do we cover everything? Do we feel like we?
I think we covered a lot. I know there is a lot that I do, but the foundation is women, teaching women in Bible literacy and speaking, and also coaching on the side. Like, that's the foundation.
Yeah. So what about, like, talk about speaking and coaching then? I mean, how did you start speaking and, like, yeah.
Oh, wow. So it's interesting because I remember being in the sixth grade, okay, and I was asked to MC. So I was the valedictorian of my sixth grade class.
Oh, nice.
That's the only time I was the valedictorian. And I was asked to MC the graduation. And I emceed the graduation, and I remember this was the thing that people laughed about for years. They all of the attendees of the graduation kept talking, and I stood up at the mic and I said, "I'll wait." And everyone just a hush fell over on like, "Who is this little girl?" And it was at that moment, like after the graduation, my great grandmother came to me and said, "You know what? You are going to be a great speaker one day."
Wow, that's cool.
And I, you know, didn't take that to heart or anything. But now, yeah, on the other side of this, looking back, I see that God had been preparing me all along. Although I can be introverted, anytime I would get a mic, something else comes over me. And and there's no fear, and I'm able to do it with ease. And so how I actually got started in speaking was, people would just, so it started off with people wanting me to tell my story and my testimony. And I told you a little bit of it, but it, of course, it's a lot more facets and a lot deeper. Sure. And I wrote a book some years ago in 2011 called Dry Tears, A Woman's Guide to Overcoming. And so when I released that book, people started reaching out saying, "Hey, I want to hear more." And that was how the speaking really started. And from that point, as I just grew in my hunger and thirst for God's word, then people would ask me, "Hey, to teach." And that's how it started. There wasn't a class I went to for it or a formula. It was just, I lived my life. I started sharing my story and people wanted to know more about it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. That's cool. I mean, it sounds you're anointed for that work. You know what I mean? So that's awesome.
Yeah, I always tell people, transparency is everything in authenticity. And people can tell when you're just being your authentic self and transparent. And that's what the world desires. So I'm just going to be my authentic self, no matter how crazy it sounds sometimes. And you know, and pray that God will use it.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's awesome. Well, so I like to end my episodes with two final questions, which I did not prepare you for in advance. So they're pretty easy though. I think you'll be all
okay.
Right. So my first one is, what is the strangest job that you have ever had?
The strangest job I have ever had was, so it was a summer youth program. And there was a revitalization going on in this city called Silver Spring, Maryland.
Okay.
And I had to go from door to door to all of these businesses and survey them on what they wanted to see in the community and things of that nature. And it was horrible because they had us out in code red heat in the summer. So what ended up happening is I remember saying to people, to our boss at the time, like, "We're teenagers. You have us out in cold red heat going from business to business. This is so hot." And then all of the other teenagers would be like, "Yeah, you know, we shouldn't be out serving these businesses in the cold red heat." And then I got let go from that job. So that was
just
starting
an uprising.
I got fired from for standing up for, you know, my belief.
I that's important. You know, you got workers' rights there. And I mean, that's
they were just like, "You are a teenager. Forget these workers' rights and take this minimum wage."
Oh man, gosh, the things we do when we're young, right? Yeah. Okay, so my final question then is, what is one piece of advice you would give to somebody looking to bring God's kingdom more into their work?
Ah, wow, this is a good one. One piece of advice looking to bring God's kingdom into their work is to recognize that they have the ability or calling to be a light. in whatever it is that they're doing. So the way that we bring God's kingdom into our work is to, when we recognize that we're a light, then we understand that it's bigger than us. Whatever job it is that we're doing, whatever sphere of influence we have, that we realize that it's bigger than us, and that whatever we're doing, we want to make sure that we are reflecting God's glory. And so with that mindset, it helps you to walk in integrity. It helps you to walk in excellence. It helps you to be a peacemaker. It helps you to love people. It empowers you to love people, even when they're unlovable. And that's the way that you're bringing God's kingdom into your everyday life.
Yeah. Oh, man. So good. Right off the cuff. That's amazing. That's good stuff. Yeah. Yeah. I can't say thanks enough for making time for me and coming on the podcast and chatting.
This has been really, really good. Thank you for having me. I love what you're doing. And I've been listening to some episodes, and this is a great podcast.
Well, thank you. I greatly appreciate that. Thanks for listening. That always means a lot to me, you know. So, yeah, good to meet you. And I think we'll probably be seeing each other on the social media and all that stuff. And,
you know. I think so. But thank you so much for having me, Curry.
Thanks, Jennifer. Have a good day.
You too. Bye.
Well, I hope you enjoyed hearing from Jennifer. I do encourage you just to go check out what she's doing. It's incredible work. Make sure you're following her on Instagram. She's always got something going on there. So, make sure you're following her, see what she's doing. And I hope you were challenged and encouraged by this episode. And if you were in some way, I'd love to hear about it. So on my post, let me know, or you can email me or direct message me, whatever. But I would love to hear what you got out of this episode. It's always so much fun to hear people being encouraged and uplifted by what I'm doing. So I would greatly appreciate that. So make sure you're not a stranger. And until next time, get out there and hustle.